Even if it's you're forcing yourself on a Thursday morning when you don't feel like it to email someone, your frame is that you need to be taking action to help the people that you consider important to you. And they will sense that and they're going to give you something back in response.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Business of Freelancing podcast, where we help you get better clients, make more money, and live a happier and a healthier life freelancing. I'm your host, Brendan Dunn, and I want to tell you about, before we get into today's interview, which is with Alex Mathers, we talked a lot about kind of how you can put together this specific contained contact list that can really kickstart your audience, kickstart your client list, really. I want to tell you about an initiative I've been working on, which if you've been on my list, you got an email about a few weeks ago. So I surveyed my list at the end of the year, or really beginning of 2016. And one of the things that I asked people to do is to tell me, what is one thing that I could do that could provide a tremendous amount of value that I'm not doing yet? One thing that really stuck out that I kept getting a lot of feedback around this was, you know, it's great now that I have the US conference and the European conference. These are once a year events where I'm getting a lot of these people who follow the work I'm doing, people who are really interested in the business behind freelancing, how to sell, how to market, how to price, all that kind of fun, geeky stuff that has nothing to do with technology, but is instead about the business. The conferences and such are great, but people want more consistent, ongoing, localized ways of getting in, you know, being around other people like them. You know, there exist a lot of these meetup groups or small business owner entrepreneurial groups that meet monthly. And, you know, I've been a member of a lot of these, and usually they fit into one of two categories. The first is something technical, like, you know, a design meetup or a Ruby on Rails or PHP meetup or something like that that meets every month. And it may or may not have freelancers in attendance. A lot of the times it's just people talking about some new, you know, coding library or, you know, something like that. And it's a mix of people who are independent along with employees and everything in between. And so that's kind of one group. And the other group are the small business entrepreneur meetups, where they're kind of hit or miss, but, you know, oftentimes a lot of the people there are, you know, real estate agents or bankers or mortgage brokers or something like that, right? You know, these service providers that are, you know, they have something to offer, I think. I mean, I think a great way to learn about referrals is talking to a real estate agent, because that's what they do. But they're not really focused on consulting. They're not focused on kind of the freelancing things that we talk about here on the podcast and also on wyourfreelancing.com. So I was noticing that people wanted business-focused freelancing meetups. And now that my audience is pretty sufficiently large that I could send out a few emails and really matchmake on a big scale, I did that. I sent out an email to my list. I got something like, it's like 500-ish people who are interested in setting up these kind of global meetup groups. I brought on somebody named Annabelle, who you'll be hearing a lot more of both in the future and especially if you get involved in the meetup groups, who is I've hired her to coordinate all of these groups around the world, because some of the cities that people have, you know, wrote in from, like London, have quite a few people who want to lead. So Annabelle is kind of trying to help figure out who could be a good leader, and also making sure that everything runs smoothly. We have plans in the future of being able to have, let's say, you know, a sponsor who wants to sponsor every North American meetup and maybe help fund their pizza, you know, buying, or, you know, something like that. There's a lot, I think, that we can do centrally to help facilitate all these different meetups. And these meetups are not centrally run in any way. It's really just, I want to make it a way that people who are interested in business and interested in freelancing can get together, ideally on a monthly basis, and, you know, share stories about what they've been working on, or share updates on different things they've been doing, or, you know, what all that goodness that typically comes with a meetup group. We've got Annabelle doing this again. It's all free. I'm actually spending a lot of money because I'm paying Annabelle and some other contractors to help me get all this off the ground. But from the perspective of you, the meetup attendee, it's all free. So if you go over to wyourfreelancing.com, Depending on when you're listening to this, there might be an events or meetups tab that will have all the global listings we have so far. You can submit a new one if we don't have your city yet. But yeah, I'm really excited about this. I mean, I'm also kind of excited because, you know, I'm going to Europe this summer to kick off the WR Freelancing Conference Europe. But we're also going to Copenhagen and Munich. And, you know, as a family, we're going to be having a few stops after the conference. And it's been just so cool seeing submissions come in from those cities. And I'd love to get to meet, you know, the people on my list or the people who listen to my podcast and everything when I'm there. Again, head on over there. If you're not already in the system for the meetup groups, add yourself. And yeah, I'm really looking, I'll be sharing updates in terms of, you know, successes and everything. We already have, like, I think London has 25, 26 people or something like that who are all in London, don't know each other yet, but are all people who are really interested in growing and sustaining their freelancing business. So again, I'm really excited about that, and I'll be sharing a lot more as we get it. All right, so back to Alex. Speaking of London, he lives in London. We talked about how you can really, you know, when you're going to be doing outreach, when you're going to be kind of building up that audience, how can you turn to your existing and immediate network and use them to kickstart your new audience? So that's what Alex and I chatted about. So without any further delay, here is Alex. Hey everyone, I want to introduce you guys to Alex Mathers. And Alex joins us, I think you're coming in from London, right?
I am.
Okay, so we're going to be talking today about one of my favorite topics, which is about building an in-person or a list through more manual means. I know a lot of us are kind of all obsessed with more automated methods for acquiring, you know, whether it be an audience or clients or whatever else. But with Alex today, we're going to be talking about using more manual processes to do the same thing. So Alex, welcome to the Business of Freelancing.
Thank you, Brennan. Happy to be here.
So quickly, what's your 30-second bio? Where do you come from?
30-second bio. Okay. I am calling out of London here in East London in my studio. And basically, I'm an illustrator, freelance, and I specialize in vector illustrations, focusing kind of on maps and diagrams and landscapes. But I also do a bit of writing. I write for my blog, Red Lemon Club, which is kind of similar to what you do, sharing information for other creative freelancers on how to run their businesses and how to market themselves. And on top of that, I do a bit of one-to-one coaching with other creatives to help them get the word out about what they do.
Nice. Yeah. So what got you into what we're going to be talking about today?
It's probably quite a long story, really. I mean, I started off, I actually did geography at university here in London.
Okay.
to really confuse things. And when I finished that course, I didn't really know what on earth to do with geography because it's such a broad subject. It's basically like studying the world. And with that, I decided to jump into real estate. And I did that for about a year and a half. I did a master's in that. And then during that course, because it was a distance learning course, I found a bit of time to get back into what I really enjoyed doing, which was actually creating illustrations. And that kind of slowly led to a part-time career, you could call it, in illustration, freelance illustration. And then it gradually turned into a full-time thing. And then everything that I'd learned through those years as a freelance illustrator, I felt I needed to share with the world. So that's why I created Red Lemon Club. That's why I now coach other illustrators and other creatives of all kinds on how to get their name out there and market themselves and run an effective business. So this is why I've sort of stumbled on this list concept, because one of the recent books that I've put out through the site is about, it's really solving the one of the biggest problems that I come across with other creatives, which is to, you know, how on earth do you find clients and kind of stay motivated in doing that? And I found that having a limited network list of people that you kind of look at manually rather than sort of leaving it to a computer to tell you everything to do, you really kind of focus on it and you're very aware of everything you do with it. I found that to be one of the most effective strategies, at least for me, and a lot of my clients are finding successes with that as well.
So the idea is you generate a small list and you really cultivate a healthy relationship with that list. It's not about numbers, it's about quality.
I want to talk a little bit about how it's actually a little bit of both. It's kind of a numbers game as well as a game of quality, but we can talk about that in more detail.
Right, but I mean, the idea is not to go and, you know, buy leads or get the, you know, like buy a bunch of names and email addresses. It's about getting
people who
it's kind of working against that
right.
whole spammy kind of approach, and that's one of the reasons that I actually put this list concept together, is because a lot of people get confused with like the sheer number of options, and that there are so many contacts that you could be kind of feeding into a list and then emailing en masse.
Sure.
This is sort of the opposite approach.
So let's say that your business has previously existed based off of, or survived off of, random referrals, or, you know, maybe going through job boards or recruiters or whatever else. And you're looking to really take ownership of, and it's funny, like considering you're in London, a lot of the UK based freelancers that I know, apparently going through recruiters or agencies is a bigger thing over there than it is here. You know, a lot of them do like these kind of, where it's really almost more staff augmentation, where you're going on site and it's, you know, all this sort of stuff. And a lot of them want to get direct clients. And so let's say that that is you, you're this kind of, you're a freelancer who's always relied off of either luck or going through these marketplaces, and you want to start out from scratch doing it the right way. Where would you, what would you say for them to do, you know, immediately?
Well, I see no issue with having an agent. For example, a lot of the illustrators that I work with have an agent that will do a lot of the work for them, and they'll do a lot of the marketing for them. The only thing about agents, and this doesn't apply to all of them, of course, is that they aren't necessarily that great at creating, you know, building relationships with other clients and sort of doing it one-to-one. It's the, some agents I've heard have sort of spammed out loads of people as well. So it's not always the best solution. But I still consider having an agent, you know, it's a good thing. I just see it as another marketing channel. And beyond that, you want to be, you want to remain building your own marketing channels as well as a freelancer on top of that. So what you would do is, I like to keep things really simple. I like to, you know, avoid dumping on rules and regulations on exactly how to do things. But the simple approach would be to create a spreadsheet or just a simple list in a document, and to start adding people that you consider valuable to not only your business. This isn't necessarily just for prospects. It's also for anyone that you consider valuable to the growth of you and your business as well. And you would start filling that up. I like to cap the limit of the number of people in the list to 150, because I found that you can get overwhelmed with how big the list could potentially get, and then you lose focus and you get distracted and it doesn't happen. So that's the key thing about this list. It's limited to 150. The reason I chose 150 is because I think it's something to do with, I read an article about how our brains are best able to deal with 150 relationships at any given time. So for me, that felt like a pretty reasonable number to put on a list like this. And then it's really a case of just, obviously you'll have a load of people that you already can put in there. There are two criteria to this list. One is that you need, that the person that you put in there already needs to know you in some way. So they need to be a lead, and they need, so i.e. they need to have responded to you in some form, whether that be just an email response or whatever, but it's they have to be a lead and they need to know you. And the second criteria is that they, what I mentioned earlier, they need to be useful to you. Obviously, it's kind of pretty obvious.
I mean, define useful, do you mean capable of paying us, capable of referring us, capable of, I mean, what do you mean by useful?
Yeah, a prospect that has the willingness and ability to pay you well for a project, for your skills, is certainly what I consider valuable. But you could also include other types of people in there, like your accountant. Obviously, they're going to provide value to you. And anyone else that supports your business, any employees and stuff that go in there. The reason I want to throw everyone in there is because it's just a really nice kind of central hub that you can continually refer to and open up every day if possible to just stay in touch with everyone. And I know that speaking with loads of other creatives, that this whole kind of keeping in touch thing is often a challenge. And it's just nice to have everyone that is important to you in one place so that you can kind of do it all in one sitting if you needed to.
Now, is that static, or do you, I mean, how do you, I'd imagine over time this list would change.
Yes, it would. And that's the big thing about the list, is that it's constantly organically evolving. It should ideally never really look the same. It really depends on where you are in your business and where you are in your career. So you could be in an entirely different phase of your career and have a list that looks very different to what it might look like further down the line. So, and obviously with it being limited, you will come to a point where it should be full up, and you may need to add new people, and in which case you have to very consciously think,
right.
Yeah, who do I take out of this? Who do I be really strict about taking out? And so there's that added element of kind of restriction, which I think is actually pretty important because it keeps things not overwhelming, hopefully. And, you know, you're kind of constantly adding new, more value to the list over time as well.
It would almost force you to think critically about the value, almost like, you know, in the sales world, there, you know, people or sales organizations have this concept of a lead score where, you know, there are so many leads and we have so our resources are finite. So we're only going to work with high quality leads. And it kind of, I guess, in a way forces you to assign a lead score to your list, to each member.
Yeah,
of your list.
Yeah, and you could do that if you want. I mean, there's a ton of flexibility that you can apply to the list. I mean, it's everyone has slightly different approaches. So as long as you sort of stick to the main, you know, couple of criteria, you can do whatever you like with it. One of the things that I talk about with my clients is that there is a column that they can put in there, which I title, like, what is it, influence. So depending on how influential that person is on their kind of corner of the market or whichever part of the industry that they're in, they get a score. So that's another part of like the growth of the value in the list. Like you really want to be moving towards putting in people who have bigger and bigger influence
because who have their own connections,
yeah.
Right? Their own,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I know you mentioned earlier that you would have, let's say, employees, not just business owners, but also employees in that on that list. But if the employee is, let's say, the only exposure they have to your industry, to the world you work in, is some dead end cubicle existence in that, I mean, they're not going to have a lot of sway or influence. And so I'd imagine they'd be kind of lower quality, at least at first.
I guess, yeah. And you, early on in the list building, you may very well include people who are slightly less value. But I still consider that a lot of people can be overlooked, even if they at first glance seem to be low value or even useless. You know, everyone has, I like to say that everyone should be considered a lead in some way. I mean, it's unlikely that someone is going to be so kind of out of touch that they wouldn't know someone who might know someone else who could be a really great referral for your business.
I mean, in my own experience, it's funny. One of the people who joined our what we called our audience was a college student or university student who, you know, from a business development perspective, it might have seemed like a waste of time to even condition that relationship. But he ended up being the nephew of Mitt Romney, who was running for president, or not of him, but of somebody in his campaign.
Okay.
And so we ended up getting him as a client, which, you know, he paid a lot. That was luck, plain and simple. But I always like to say we had increased our surface area of luck so much that, yes, even though, you know, there's no guarantee of anything because we had these people that we conditioned these relationships with, it ended up kind of firing on its own.
Yeah. And that kind of thing applies itself very well to this list concept, because if you hadn't had that person in the list in the first place, you would never have taken action to reach out to them and say, could you possibly think of anyone that you might know who might be useful to my business? And then they'll give you a name, and then you can always go ahead and ask that person. So it kind of sets off a sort of a cascade of connections, which is why this is so useful.
Sure. Okay. So you've seeded your initial list based off of, I guess you just jog your memory and think of people that you think would be valuable to your business. What are the next steps?
Okay. So one thing I didn't mention so far was that in addition to this 150, there's one other little list that kind of tags onto this big one, which is a limited list again, but of 20, what I call additions. So you'll want to be adding new people to the list, but of course you can't add people who don't know you yet. That's kind of in the criteria. So for anyone that you're working on adding, so say you've got a dream client that you really want to work with, you can put the contact detail of that person in your 20 additions list. And then you would spend however long it takes to reach out to them and get them to respond to you and show an interest in what you do. In which case there'll be a lead and they can go in the 150. And then from then on, it's just a case of checking in with some regularity with the 150 list. And, you know, that's how great relationships are going to be built. You're sort of, you're focused on developing relationships through that list. And the reason I make it limited to 20, the additions list, is just so that you don't again, get overwhelmed with like how many people you could be working on at any given time. So it's, you're sort of making, you know, small steps.
Right. Right. So what I'm really curious about hearing from you is, what do we do now that these people are on it? I mean, to me, it would seem almost like you're force opting people into a list, which is fine. As long as you're not, you know, doing a list of things. But I mean, it's not like you're going to go start, you know, spamming them with newsletters or something.
No.
I'm sure. So what's that next step? Like, how do you reach out to this person and say, or each person on that list and kind of say, hey,
this is where it gets interesting.
Yeah, this is what I'm curious about hearing.
Well, bear in mind that the list is in no way, it doesn't resemble a newsletter subscriber list. So you won't be sending out emails as
mass
a group
emails or anything,
to the whole set. So it's really about the manual approach to things rather than letting anything get automated. I think having a newsletter is great. I have a decent sized one on my Red Lemon Club, and it's great for kind of keeping customers in touch and so on. But this list is really about kind of incentivizing you to just stay in, to reach out one-to-one to everyone in that list. So once you have a fair few people in that list, you want to be sticking to this one tiny rule, which is basically to make sure that no one kind of falls off the list. Make sure that you keep in touch with people at least every 2 months. That's really the only sort of rule that I apply to it. Ideally, some people you'll be keeping in touch with a little bit more often than that, and some people you'll only just have recently met, and you may be having a sort of back and forth conversations and that kind of thing. But you really want to be opening up the list at least 2 or 3 times a week, say. I mean, it's really down to you. Open up the list, read through it, and see, okay, this guy, I haven't actually spoken to him in like 3 weeks. And you're sort of going by your gut, and you're saying, okay, I think it's time for a touch in. And then you go down to the next person. If you recently connected with that person, fine, move on to the next person. So all you're really doing is making sure that the list is kind of stirred up and it's kind of buzzing and it's like, and it's aware of you. And it's all manual. It might sound like a lot if it's 150, but for most of the time, especially if you've gone through the list a few times, you'll only have a few people every day to sort of just touch it, need to touch it.
What do you actually rate them? I mean, what do you say? I mean, I guess it would be dependent on let's say you're contacting them on average every few weeks or every few months, I guess it would be an extension of that, or like, what would you actually write to them?
Well, this is actually, one of the more challenging, things that I find that my clients have trouble with. It's like, once you've got everyone down in the list and you know that you need to contact someone, what on earth do you say to them without kind of being pushy, annoying,
salesy,
you know, saying the wrong thing, self-absorbed and that kind of stuff. And for me, it's really a case of showing an interest in what they do and showing an interest in helping them in some way. That's certainly a major feature of the kinds of things to say to people. You really ultimately just want to get someone to respond to you, because that sets into motion their, you know, the action they're taking with regards to you, and it sort of gets you front of mind. That's the key thing. So it can really be anything. You don't necessarily need to kind of go all out with a pitch right away. You got to have to be a bit creative. A lot of people have to sort of think on their feet a little bit. And for me, it's really about sort of taking action and then tweaking as you go along in terms of teaching yourself how best to do this. And you know, everyone's going to be different. Every client is different. Every context is going to be slightly different from the next. So it's difficult to give out a kind of black and white checklist of what kinds of things to say, but keep it to showing an interest first and then gradually moving that into a pitch if you feel the time is right. You really want to be warming people up before you start throwing pitches at them.
Yeah, and I would say the root of it is probably be authentic. I mean, it's not about just being, you know, so like one of the things I used to do, or I actually still do to a degree, is I would have, you know, a group of people who I thought would be great people to work with or people that were valuable to me. And let's say I read an article on something that's maybe tangentially related to their business. I would just shoot them off an email with the link to the article saying, hey, read this. I thought you might like this. Here's what I got out of it. You know, give it a read and then drop me a reply and let me know what you got out of it, or, you know, something like that. Right. That gets a good conversation going. And especially if the article is on something like like for you, let's say, you know, you mentioned illustration. I mean, that could be actually a funny thing. One of the former podcast guests I had does caricatures for at like, I don't know if you heard the episode, but she does it at trade shows.
She charges a lot of money for it, right?
For like 300 an hour. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
that was surprising. That's great.
Right. So like, let's say you hypothetically were on my list. I might say, you know, hey Alex, I heard this interview with an artist or an illustrator who is using her talent to help generate leads. And let's say, you know, I'm writing that to a business person.
Right.
I mean, that's the kind of thing that, you know, I think
that's a perfect example of the kind of thing that does right. work. And if I received an email like that from you, I'd be like, that's great. Cause it's relevant to me. He's obviously spent a bit of time thinking about me and it's quite flattering really. And I think that's certainly one of the better approaches.
Yeah. I mean, especially when you have that, the call to action, let's say being, you know, let me know what you got out of it. Ideally what your next steps are as a result of this. And if that lines up with something you offer, you know, it's a great way to introduce
exactly.
that pitch.
I think one of the best things you can do, in leading up to, you know, landing a project with a client is to have multiple touch-ins as well. You know, trust develops over time based on, you know, the number of times that you've checked in with someone, and I think trust levels tend to go up obviously, with more check-ins. So, you know, this system is built really towards, you know, increasing those touch-ins. So it's also not about kind of getting worried that you need to be selling yourself and winning that job or project on the very first email. It's really a gradual, slightly longer term process. And that's sort of what brings me to the idea that it's also a numbers game as well as a game of quality interaction, because with 150 there, especially after a couple of weeks, you're going to have people's, you know, you're going to have be in multiple conversations with different people, and people will be kind of be aware of you. That's when the jobs will start coming through, because you've had all these check-ins, and you know you'll start to see the fruits of your labor with all these touch-ins. And it doesn't need to be overwhelming. That's the thing.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I think a lot of us, what we want is we want that kind of instant client, right? That like immediately converts. And it's kind of like, I mean, if you think about it, like actual human relationships, like you don't get married to somebody on the first meeting. But this is basically a way of dating a lot of people at once and, you know, seeing which ones turn into actually.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, right.
It's the same kind of dynamic. I mean, slightly less romantic, maybe.
Less expensive too, probably.
Exactly. It's cheap, and it's the way to go, really. You know, multiple check-ins, and this list is going to keep you kind of focused. That's the thing. A lot of people kind of drift away from it. As long as you, for me, like making sure that every day you check into the list, if that's the only thing you remember to do out of everything, you know, opening up the list, looking through it, and kind of being in touch again with those people.
So do you just have like, I mean, I assume now it's habit, but I, you know, at first it's just, you know, you start, I assume you would maybe start the day off, you know, the first thing you do is spend 10 minutes, however long it'll take to contact, let's say three people, four people, you know, whatever that is. Is that basically what you do?
That's it. It's really as simple as that. I mean, I don't always check in, but you know, I try and keep some level of consistency, and I try and keep it to three days a week. And I will, you know, sort of build in the time I spend with this list, which doesn't have to be that long, kind of into my marketing chunk. So, you know, I might spend an hour or two on marketing related things on a certain day, and make sure that the list stuff gets done then. Or you could kind of spread it out through the week and, spend a quick 10, 20 minutes looking through the list and emailing a few people or whatever. You could call them up. You could arrange, you know, meetups, whatever works.
Right. Now, do you do anything in terms of, I mean, is a spreadsheet at all used for, I don't know, like putting not tags, but like maybe a brief note about maybe what it is they do, or maybe what the last thing you discussed is, or do you maybe just go into Gmail and search their email and look at the last email you sent them to figure that out? Like,
you could certainly do that. That can be very helpful. Gmail's amazing as a sort of search tool for all your contacts, especially if you're doing a lot of emailing. But I'm just looking at my own spreadsheet right now, and there's about 7 or 8 different columns that I have in there. Not all of them are necessarily like prioritized, but I've got certainly a notes column, and in there I'll have anything worth noting about that particular person, you know, when I last interacted with them, and anything else that would be of use for potential later connections with that same person. And there's also a date and means of last contact column. So I try and keep things simple by just having a code word and a date to correspond to the means, like how I contacted them. So if I emailed someone, I'll put an E and then I'll have the date. And it's not like strictly required, but it's useful to know like how you know the mode of communication and when you did it, so that the next time you check in with the list, you can see exactly how you did it and when, and you can, you know, ascertain whether it's a good time to recheck in with them or not.
Right. Do you ever find that people on the receiving end can kind of read between the lines and call you out on that? And, you know, I wouldn't care personally, but a lot of people I've talked to who have recommended doing something along these lines, you know, they're like, well, you know, then they can, you know, see right through me and realize that I'm just trying to sell them. And, you know, all this kind of, I think it's more like just mental inventions that try to derail people from actually doing anything. So it's like, oh, this won't work, obviously, because X.
Right. It's a tricky one. It can be, you know, sort of balancing the whole being proactive with your marketing and making sure that you're reaching out to a healthy number of people every week, but also to remain authentic and for it to not seem as if you're being manipulative or like you have an agenda. And that's certainly a challenge that a lot of people have issues with, especially when they first start out. But to be honest, you know, if you're running a business, there's no denying that you need to be taking action to connect with those people that are going to be valuable to your business. You just have to change your frame, I think. I think it's more about, you know, understanding that you need to have a network of people that hear from you with some regularity, that you are also sharing value with, because it's a win-win situation. You've got people who you're keeping in touch with, and it's in your own interest to sort of help them along in their careers, because you know very well that by doing that, you're going to get good karma from that, and you should also open up opportunities for you. So it's about framing it in the sense that you're not, you know, out there for yourself. It's more about a two-way system, and people will sense that frame, that perspective. Even if it's you're forcing yourself on a Thursday morning when you don't feel like it to email someone, your frame is that you need to be taking action to help the people that you consider important to you, and they will sense that, and they're going to give you something back in response.
I mean, especially when you look at sales as being nothing more than just a mutual exchange of value, right? Where, yes, you're giving me money and I'm giving you something more valuable than that in exchange. Then it doesn't, I mean, then it becomes, I mean, it's like, again, to go back to that whole dating marriage thing, right? Like, marriage isn't one-sided, or it shouldn't be. And it's kind of that same thing where, you know, if the goal is to get a client, let's say to get married, even though we're kind of talking polygamy at this point, but you know,
right.
You know what, yeah. I mean, it's all about as long, I mean, that's what dating is supposed to be. It's not one-sided. It's not me just objectively seeing, am I going to, you know, sound so bad, like buy you, or, you know, I mean, it's mutual, right? So it's the same thing where as long as you're delivering that value consistently, I mean, that's how you do it.
And it's an awareness of that that's really the key to making all of this work. It's understanding that as soon as there's the vibe that it's not mutual anymore and it's just all about you, then the relationship's going to fall apart. And the same applies to all kinds of relationships. So as long as you sort of approach it as, okay, what kind of value am I going to give in return for what value they're going to give? And seeing, you know, money in the sense that it's basically receiving a reward or a token for the value that you provide, rather than you kind of being miserly looking for money. It's about seeking out exchanges.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
So yeah, this hopefully is conducive in a way to that kind of dynamic.
What I like about this, I mean, what I like about kind of what you've laid out is it doesn't require having a popular blog or being really good at copywriting or you know, any of these, there are a lot of tactics out there, right, about how you get clients. And what this is just reflect on the people that are already in your life and work on those relationships. I mean, that's what it boils down to at the end of the day.
No, it really does. Yeah. And it's also a nice, it's kind of a framework in a way for your own self-growth as well, as cheesy as that might sound. Because it starts off, I mean, as you say, you could have absolutely nothing and start from scratch, but have this spreadsheet in front of you where you have kind of this frontier that you could be exploring with all the people that you could be adding to your network. And so by committing to taking action every day, if you can, to reaching out to someone new, even if it's just one new person, you are putting yourself into, you know, an uncomfortable for many situation, and that's only going to lead to learning and continual growth. So it's a great system for you know, developing in business as well.
Right. And another thing that I like about it too is it kind of bakes into your daily habits, business development, where a lot of people just wait until they're out of work to really do that. And when they're billing and when they have clients and everything else, they're not really thinking about what's next. Whereas this kind of requires you to do that.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not just about prospects or clients. It's about everyone that interests you. And that's another thing. Obviously, you want to be adding people that actually motivate you to want to talk to them as well. A lot of people kind of get hung up on working on clients that they feel they should bring into their business, and they don't really have much of an interest in that person. So you want to be prioritizing people that actually genuinely interest you, because then when it comes to communicating with them, you're going to have genuine, authentic questions about what they do, rather than it being kind of a forced thing. So that's really the key thing as well. It's like putting people in there that you actually care to interact with, so that it becomes less of a chore and more of a motivating thing to do.
Well, Alex, I just want to thank you again for coming on. And this has been, I hopefully, especially if somebody listening is wanting to, you know, doesn't have that audience, doesn't have that network yet.
Right.
I think this is a great way to bootstrap that and
hope so.
And get it going. So your site is redlemonclub.com, right?
That's it.
Okay. Yep. So that's the best place for people to go and find out more about you.
Perfect. Yeah, that's right.
Excellent. Well, Alex.
My pleasure. Brennan, yeah, thanks very much.
Thanks again.
Appreciate it.
So that's my interview with Alex. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed hosting it. Again, if you haven't left a review yet, head on over to doubleyourfreelancing.com/podcast, click the iTunes link or the Stitcher link and leave a review. I would really appreciate that. It helps get the podcast and interviews like this in front of more people. And if you have any feedback whatsoever, if you want have recommendations on who I could interview, maybe you, head on over to doubleyourfreelancing.com, click contact at the bottom, get in touch, and we'd love to take that into account. All right, we'll see you next time on another exciting episode of the Business of Freelancing podcast.